Hey, we are here at the 2018 Co-op Financial Services Think Conference. We're in the desert with Brian Solis.
We are.
How are you, Brian?
Fantastic.
We're in Phoenix, Arizona. So how are you, man?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, you're going to be speaking here in this afternoon. And give us a quick summary of what you're going to be talking about and maybe a couple of key takeaways that folks can get from your...
I was hoping you could tell me what I'd be talking
about. Oh, okay. Well, I'll let you know.
I'm going to be focusing on... So quick story is that I'm a digital analyst and anthropologist.
Yes.
And I try to understand technology's impact on business and also human beings to make sense of how that's going to play out in the future, mm-hmm. to help organizations, help people understand their role in taking shape of however we want this to sort of come to life.
Right.
I think a lot of individuals assume the future is going to happen to them, and it will if you don't do anything about it. And
right.
So what I'm going to talk about is the role that people can play in helping to shape the future,
mm-hmm.
To help it shape in ways that are positive to them and to their organization. I have this saying that if you're waiting for someone to tell you what to do, you're on the wrong side of innovation.
Oh,
and
yeah, good point.
And I think that this is a time for what I call digital change agents to rise up, to not just demonstrate what's happening or what could be, but also to be a force within their organizations,
mm-hmm.
to bring colleagues along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
That I think there's fear, there's self-doubt, there's just an assumption maybe that tech isn't going to have a big impact. But at the end of the day, all change comes down to people, and all change starts with an individual,
mm-hmm.
and that's my message today.
I keep thinking of this U2 lyric. It's from what I think it was from their first album, "If you can't change the world, you can change the world in you." And so I kept thinking of that when I was looking at these notes, and I went, I'm going to talk about that with Brian. So I mean, I see the correlation there. So in order to change, you got to change yourself first, and then you can start making change outside of yourself.
Is that kind of
the
premise here?
I love, this is the second time in as many weeks that U2 has come up
really?
In a conversation.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll take it. I'm a big fan of theirs. Yeah, it's a very profound lyric, and I would say that lyric was probably inspired by a quote from Leo Tolstoy,
mm-hmm.
which is, we all talk of change, but none of us talk of changing ourselves,
mm-hmm.
Or as an interpretation of it. But yeah, that's
yeah.
any great story of innovation or transformation starts with an individual.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part. I think that all change is human, even though it goes by things like innovation, disruption, digital transformation. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's really all about how we see the present, how we see the future, and how we see our role in all of it. And I think this is a really empowering time for those who want to see it that way. But the challenge is that because the future is, let's just say, undefined, and because it's breaking so many rules,
mm-hmm.
we're asking people to break rules as well. And that challenges all kinds of conventions and beliefs, because we were all raised or we were all rewarded by how well we
yeah.
followed the rules.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who would be uncomfortable with breaking the rules. So, but those that do, like you have done many times in the past, have actually kind of benefited quite well from it.
Yeah,
it depends on the rules you're breaking. I mean, we don't want to go out there and don't break the law. But there's other rules that we're talking about.
I've challenged rules. I've challenged conventions, and I think for the majority of my career, because I've been around this game for a very long time, I had a hard time, because those in the early days, disruption wasn't so pervasive. And if you have an inquisitive or a curious mind and you're asking questions, or you're, not say challenging is the wrong word, but if you're asking questions about what's possible or
mm-hmm.
what could be,
mm-hmm.
over the years it wasn't as appreciated as I would like to,
mm-hmm.
to have been. I didn't really start my endeavors into innovation and disruption until I was well into my 20s and really in my early 30s. And that's a long time to be alive, where you have to change your life,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what most people are starting to feel now, is that they're being pushed,
mm-hmm.
they're being challenged, and that it makes them uncomfortable. But I think if you could switch perspective on it to say it's actually in your control, you're feeling that for a reason, because life is just evolving.
Oh, yeah.
And the more that we can tell ourselves that this is a time for not just reflection, but for self-investment, for investment in our own futures, to, yes, it's going to be uncomfortable, but to challenge our own comfort zones and,
mm-hmm.
and create a new comfort zone.
Right. Right.
And at the same time, anybody who's a manager or an executive, this is a time where we need empathetic leadership to understand that this is going through everybody's minds. Yeah. People are unsure, people are scared, that we have to help them understand that there is not just empowerment, not just the need to learn new things or to try to be creative or innovative, but there's reward in it for them as well. That these are new mechanisms and incentives and motivations to help people understand that they can find comfort as they become uncomfortable.
And this message resonates so well with what's happening in our industry right now, because we're going through this digital transformation. I'm sure you've heard a lot about it here, but step one, in order for a credit union to transform digitally, you have to change the culture inside, and that means changing people. And I think, gosh, the correlation here is like spot on. So it's really kind of cool that you're talking here about, you know, what you're talking about, this, the change, and this industry is going through it right now.
Right.
And what I keep hearing over and over again is step one is to change. You got to change the culture within your shop in order to make it happen.
That's. You
have buy-in.
You said it probably better than I could. The culture is, in my research, I've been studying digital transformation formally for the last 5 or 6 years, and 100% of the time, culture is either the number one catalyst for change or the number one inhibitor for change.
Yeah, totally.
And I started to do some work, not formally, well, actually, that's not true. I released a report last year called Digital Cultures, where I studied how the most progressive or the most advanced organizations were investing in new types of cultures. Mm-hmm. The one thing I had found along that research, or in that research, but also just in my more personal work, was that culture is something that is not understood. It's we use that word, and
it's kind of like Kleenex or something like that, or Xerox.
So it's one of those things where people want a culture of innovation, people want a culture of agility and adaptation, but that culture is largely the result of how we treat people and how we don't treat people. So it's intentional, I guess. It's purposeful. And today, management is not prioritizing that type of work in terms of culture. It is just a result of how we manage, or how we lead, or how we perform quarter to quarter. And I think the challenge that credit unions face is that they have been largely successful. They provide great services. The differentiation of traditional banks, I think, is fantastic. They're more community-focused and more people-focused. And that success, I think, has been, unfortunately, the enemy of innovation. Right? And that you want to breed more success. Mm-hmm. You want to create a culture of refining that success, of growing that success. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is that as you focus on what success is, you realize, or maybe you don't, that that's based on legacy. It's based on the past. It's based on incumbency. And that as the world evolves, as it changed, the definition of success is also evolving. That means that to compete for the future, you do need innovation, but there's a gap between where you are today and where the world is going, and that's what people know and what people don't know within your organization. Someone in the organization has to say, we need to bridge that gap. That means we need to invest in new expertise. That means we need to invest in retraining people that we have today. That means that we need to reward them for taking chances. We need to incentivize them to start to move in new directions. And that's culture. That is where what I just talked about didn't sound like culture. It sounded like strategy. It sounded like investment. It sounded like education and human resources. The result of that is a more empowered and informed and educated and advanced culture. And that's the way I think that we have to talk about it. In fact, hopefully I can get a copy of this or find out where you publish it, because I think that's going to be my next article. I don't think I've ever summarized culture in that way before, but that's really what it's about.
Yeah, and I think when you're talking success, I think the enemy of success, like you said, is complacency. Because right now we're experiencing really good times in the credit union industry. Loans are great, membership is off the hook. I mean, everything is really going well, but the enemy of that is being complacent. Oh, we don't need to digitize. We don't need to do that. What's happening right now is A-OK. How do you break somebody out of that mold to get them to say, hey, you know what, you need to act now. Don't become a blockbuster. Don't become a Tower Records, you know?
So
Tower Records.
Sorry about it, I just dated myself. But
my goodness. Or if you want to bring Blockbuster, you remember Be Kind, Rewind, right? I mean, there's that.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yes. The VCR, yeah.
We are a generation that will just take that to our graves. Mm-hmm. No one else will know what that means. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy. Your question's not easy. Yeah. It's not an easy thing to do.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but
it's a human challenge, right? I think. Look, the reality is that there's two moments where people realize they have to change. There's an aha moment, which is, I see what you're saying, Brian, and I'm going to envision how my future can be different. Mm-hmm. Take a proactive measure, grab the reins, grab the steering wheel, whatever metaphor you want to use, and take control. The other one is the uh-oh moment, which is when you feel threatened or you have been displaced, mm-hmm. where you have felt disruption. And that moment is, unfortunately, where the majority of organizations, not just credit unions, just people and organizations in general, will react when they are threatened. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good place to react from. It's already too late.
Kind of panic mode.
Yeah, you're in panic mode. You're not going to make decisions the way you would have. There's not the time to gain what you need to do in terms of making the right decisions over time. So look, I think that's the nature of my work, is that there has to be a way, psychologically and emotionally, intellectually, to stimulate, to provoke, to incentivize people to take these chances on their own. Mm-hmm. I don't have an answer for that, right? I mean, that's my life's work has been dedicated to trying to inspire people to think differently, yeah, and to act differently. I've published research that shows safe paths over the years, mm-hmm. for people to follow, and to some extent it's had a lot of impact. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that your question has weighed on me over the years, in that I feel like I could do more, and I'm going to take a break from writing academic books, not taking a break from research, but at least academic books on business models, customer experience, mm-hmm. experience design, and look at the individual. How do you stimulate innovative thinking and creative thinking in ways that aren't just a self-help book? You know, just that give people guidance to take these next steps. Because look, especially in finance, I mean, AI is going to start having a really interesting impact. And there's two schools of thought. One is that AI is going to replace everybody's jobs, yeah, and the other one is that it's going to give everybody a promotion because someone's going to have to run the robots. And I think that there's truth in both, but again, at the end of the day, if you're waiting for someone to tell you what your next job is going to be, that's too late.
Exactly.
This is really about the individual's relationship with the role that they want to have now and in the future. And unfortunately, and this is, I think, you know, just to use a canon word, sucks, is that we've spent entire careers, we've had how much money invested in our own education over the years, life and work experience, that is now coming to a place where we have to make a decision about pivoting. Mm-hmm. Our own momentum may start working against us. And that's the challenge of what the future holds, mm-hmm. is that we don't know what it is. And that's why many years ago, I had to become a futurist to play out these roles in ways so that I can kind of bring a message back from the future, mm-hmm. to now.
Thank you for that.
That the more we can take sanctuary and understanding that it's okay that our life, work, and experience can continue to grow, that not only do we need to learn, but there's also a lot of unlearning that we need to do.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, good point.
The more promising the future is for everybody.
I agree.
Brian, I am well over my allotted time with you, so thank you very much. But I wanted to give you a quick plug on your company, Altimeter. Can you give folks out there what it's all about, and where to find you, and where you're going to be next?
Yeah, well, Altimeter Group is a research group that I'm a principal analyst for, that we study disruptive technology and its impact on business. Mm-hmm. We're part of a company called Profit, which helps brands compete for the future in a whole lot of ways. But my day job And then also my nights and weekend jobs.
You're a busy guy.
I also blog at briansolis.com. Mm-hmm. I'm at Brian Solis pretty much on every social network. Okay. And a lot of that work there is analyzing the relationship between the future of business and also the future of ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, how technology is impacting us. Mm-hmm. A lot of digital anthropology, if you will. So I write books. Write a lot of stuff. The research is all free. I hope you can take a look.
Indeed. Been there, done that. Thank you very much, Brian. We've come full circle to the change message, so thank you very much.
Thank you.